The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And we have lots of breaking news as we get going this afternoon. It's really good to be back after taking a few days off. I'll try to explain later in the afternoon why that happened or what's going on. But it's really good to be back. But we are back on a very busy news afternoon. As you just heard in Aaron's newscast, there's a recall Kashama Sawant sent campaign going on. We're going to talk to the recall director at 12:30 this afternoon. But he is getting death threats now from the Marxists around the country and around the world who want to keep Seattle as their foothold in Marxism. And so we will talk about that in just a few minutes. The absolute lies of Seattle Councilman, King County Councilman Dow Constantine, are proving how dangerous he is to the children of this region. But let's begin with some breaking news just coming in.
The Big Lead, breaking news.
So as we begin this afternoon, there is a White House security briefing right now with the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan. And we do have to start with international news today because, well, Vladimir Putin is showing signs that Russia may be thinking about invading the Ukraine. They are doing this, of course, because the United States has a complete vacuum at the top. With Joe Biden in charge, you've got the Russian president, you've got the Chinese Premier Xi, who's thinking about going into Taiwan. They're going to see how the United States responds to Russia and the Ukraine. But what they're communicating right now in a press conference that is going on as we speak, and we're monitoring it, is that the United States and European allies will respond with economic sanctions if Vladimir Putin invades the Ukraine. And so that's not very strong, but more importantly, Putin and Xi, they never would have dared do this the last 4 years because the United States was projecting strength. But now with Joe Biden as president, we have the weakest president ever in United States history. And all you need to know about how Vladimir Putin and Premier Xi are viewing Joe Biden. Joe Biden had a short speech over the weekend, and he just was coughing up a lung throughout the entire speech.
Before I start, I'd like to report that later today I'll be signing a bill funding the government operations for the next few months. Simply put, America is back to work. Since the end of October, the average in partnership with private business and labor, retailers and grocery stores, freight movers and railroads. For example, at the Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach, the two busiest ports in America, and they're ready to meet consumer demand for the holidays. Now, I said that yesterday.
Okay, the White House press corps asked Joe Biden directly if he's okay. He swears that he is. He says that he caught this from his grandson.
First of all, Mr. President, your voice sounds a little different. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I have a test every day to see a COVID test. I have it checking for all the strains. What I have is a 1.5-year-old grandson who had a cold who likes to kiss his pop. And he'd been kissing in my anyway, so but it's just a cold.
Okay, just a cold. He likes to kiss his pop. What about Corn Pop? Does your grandson seek out Corn Pop to kiss him too? So you have a president who is portraying such weakness, then a vice president who is completely missing in action and the most disliked vice president in United States history, and then Nancy Pelosi, and we'll demonstrate this later today, is showing perhaps more cognitive impairment than the president of the United States. So you have other world leaders who are saying the United States isn't going to do anything. If Putin wants to go into the Ukraine, if Xi wants to go into Taiwan, the United States of America is far too weak to do anything on the world stage right now. Now, the White House is vehemently denying that. And Biden met in a conference call, a video conference call with Putin just about an hour or so ago. But Joe Biden is not at this White House press briefing. He sent out the National Security Advisor for this. So you have a complete vacuum at the top in the United States of America. And Newt Gingrich, no matter what you think of Newt Gingrich, he is a very smart man, and he's sounding the alarm right now.
This is the most dangerous administration since Buchanan, who was the president just before the Civil War. No one should kid themselves. The Chinese are developing a whole series of systems designed to defeat us. They have a very effective international diplomatic strategy. They're developing all sorts of new weapons. We've had a series of admirals tell us that we lose every single war game in which we try to take on communist China for Taiwan. We just had a leading general in the Space Command who reported that we are being attacked every day. And we noticed they paid attention. We're being attacked every day by the Russians and the Chinese in space assets.
Yep, cyber attacks, space assets. And so this is a very perilous time for the United States of America. So that's the backdrop as we begin this afternoon. The White House press conference is continuing. We will keep monitoring it, but Joe Biden nowhere to be seen at this presser. It is the National Security Advisor trying to reassure the world that the United States still has some strength. But it is clear between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris that there is a complete vacuum at the top of leadership in the United States of America right now, and our enemies are looking to take advantage of it. We'll keep a close eye on that throughout the afternoon and, of course, in the days and weeks to come here on the Dory Monson Show. All right, let's go local up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
We're seeing child crime just absolutely exploding all around the country. In every city, major Democratic-led city, in Philadelphia, a 14-year-old kid was shot 18 times a couple of days ago.
Near Jefferson, a 14-year-old Thomas A. Edison High School freshman was waiting for the bus near Wyoming and Rising Sun in Feltonville Monday afternoon around 3:30 p.m. when police say two people got out of a car and chased him, firing off about 35 rounds. Jefferson was hit 18 times and ran a block before collapsing. The Rite Aid at the busy intersection was covered in bullet holes Tuesday.
Okay, this all has tremendous significance here in the Western Washington area. But in Chicago, 11-year-olds are being arrested for violent armed carjackings.
The Vehicular Hijacking Task Force arrested an 11-year-old on November 26th for felony aggravated vehicular hijacking. Let me say that again, because that shocks the conscience. Our task force arrested an 11-year-old.
Okay, so what does this have to do with Seattle and King County? Well, we have decided to not prosecute children for very, very serious crimes. It is a matter of policy. And it goes back to Dan Satterberg a few months ago when a 15-year-old girl decided as a prank to hit a jogger while she was driving a car at 50 miles per hour.
Juvenile court exists for a reason, and it exists for 15-year-old girls who do stupid things. She didn't intend to kill anybody. There's no proof of that at all. The proof is that she intended to bump him, and we all know how incredibly dangerous that is.
She just wanted to bump a jogger at 50 miles per hour while driving a car. The mayor of Kent, I talked to her last week, Dana Ralph, and she acknowledged what I have been saying for a long, long time. As Dow Constantine and Jay Inslee and Mayor Durkin, as they have decided to decriminalize children committing crime, we have an uptick in children who commit crimes. As I talked to Dana Ralph about, the mayor of Kent, that the gangs now know there's so much gang and gun violence around here. And they know, well, we'll just recruit 14 and 15-year-olds to mule our drugs around the streets, because even if they get caught, nothing's going to happen to them.
What I can tell you is I agree with all of those things. King County has been, by choice, very lax in prosecution of drug crimes. You throw in the Blake decision from earlier this year that essentially decriminalizes possession.
Right.
And that's it's a huge problem that all of us sort of working here on the ground knew was coming.
Okay, now here's where I'm going to challenge all of my brethren in the media, because Dow Constein is the King County executive, and he has been so blatantly lying for the last several years about youth violence, about gun violence, about what he's doing to reduce it. He actually said in his video voter guide as he was running for re-election, he actually said this.
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence prevention and aid to victims of domestic violence and other crimes, and collaborating with communities to create real safety.
He said we're improving gun safety and gun violence. Hey, Fox 13, is that true?
Well, gun violence and shootings continue growing at an alarming rate.
New data just released shows that King County has exceeded the historic record of gun violence seen in all of 2020.
So how does everybody else in the media let Dow Constein get away with this? Where he says that he is reducing gun violence at a time when gun violence has increased more than ever before, than in our history. And it's because they are letting juvenile gang members be released. In fact, Dow brags about that, that if you're a 14, 15-year-old, you commit murder, you commit rape, nothing's going to happen to you. Dow will make sure of that.
We're helping kids stay in school, graduate, and avoid the criminal legal system. And I've succeeded in driving down the youth detention rate nearly tenfold.
Succeeded in driving down the youth detention rate because they're letting criminals go free. And again, here are the results.
And in David, the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office has been collecting data on gun violence since 2017. We're learning that the number of overall shooting victims is up about 75% over the four-year average.
I'm sorry to laugh, but where's the media on this? And how does Dow Constein get away with this? The stats, in fact, we just got a new batch of stats on Friday. In the first 9 months of 2021, we have had in King County 73 firearm homicides, already a county record in just 9 months, a record for a year. We've had 283 other shooting victims, also a record. We have had 1,036 shots fired in King County in the first 9 months. So, Dow, tell me again what you're doing about this.
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence prevention and aid to victims of domestic violence and other crimes, and collaborating with communities to create real safety.
How? How can he get away with that? I know politicians lie. They lie all the time. But why is he allowed to get away with it? Dow Constein's a liar, okay? That proves it. Where he keeps saying over and over that he's reducing gun violence at a time when gun violence has gone through the roof here in his county. But how is he allowed to get away with this? Why is he allowed to get away with this? It's because so many others in the media also believe that 14-year-old murderers should go free. They believe that 13-year-old rapists should walk around free. And so what we have is some of the worst crime imaginable throughout the region. But when you play those cuts back to back, when you prove the depth of the lies that Dow Constein tells, and then when you prove the omission of the media, lying by omission by the media in ignoring all of these lies. We are in a very, very dangerous time if even the media is not willing to tell the truth. It's not that we don't dare. I dare tell the truth. I'll accept whatever consequences come from me telling the truth, because the truth is your ultimate defense. But why do others not dare to tell the truth? Dow Constein is just flat out lying here.
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence prevention and aid to victims of domestic violence and other crimes.
Yeah, you did a bang-up job. No pun intended. So it's time to call out people like Dow Constein for these lies, because it is destroying this region. Not only that, it's destroying the future of these children. If there are no consequences for your behavior as kids, then you have no shot as an adult in society. But they don't care. They just throw away all these young lives as part of their political capital. And then coming up right after the news at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to talk with the guy leading the recall Sawant campaign. The votes are coming in as we speak to recall the Marxist city council member. But Harry Bridger, he told Channel 4 that he's getting death threats from Marxists around the country who want to keep Seattle as their Marxist headquarters.
I've had myself seven death threats in time in a year and a half.
How do you know those are coming from the Sawant campaign?
The FBI has investigated some of them. When I go on my walks, I have to be very guarded. I get approached by people. Walking through Cal Anderson one night, one afternoon, a gentleman comes up and yelling and screaming at me, calling me an effing.
Yeah. And it goes on from there. And then a gay slur after that. So Harry Bridger's going to join us because while the region's going to heck under people like Dow Constein and Sham Sawant, you have Marxists around the country flooding this city with campaign money today to try to keep us as their hellish toehold in dystopia. We will continue to cover these stories that others seem to want to ignore. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
As we speak, this White House press conference with National Security Advisor continues. Lots of saber rattling between Russia and Ukraine, China and Taiwan. A total vacuum at the top in the United States of America right now. We got a total vacuum of leadership in King County. And yes, we will dare to chronicle it all. I'll talk to the leader of the Recall Sawant campaign right after we check the news as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, today is the day. Will Seattle City Socialist Councilwoman Kshama Sawant be recalled? Because it is a single-issue election, right a month after a big election, and in a off-election year anyway. But man, the turnout numbers that we're hearing this afternoon are pretty incredible. Henry Bridger, he is the Recall Sawant campaign manager. He joins us here in the Dory Monson Show. Henry, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Thank you so much.
We're not going to get any results until this evening, but how are you feeling about the effort to recall Sawant?
I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm really encouraged by the amount of ballots that have been turned in as of this morning. We're at 41.5% voter turnout, and that's amazing. So very grateful for that, and hearing, being out there in the field in the streets, and hearing the positive outcome from people that they're very excited that this is happening. I think it's going to be a really good turnout tonight.
As I understand it, as you're out in the streets, you're not only hearing positive things, though. I saw Jonathan Cho's story at Channel 4 that you're being pretty viciously attacked for wanting to recall a socialist. Tell me about that.
Well, since day one, I've had death threats. I've had seven so far, and my team has been attacked out there when they were collecting signatures, being spit on, rocks thrown on top of them from above. Having liquids thrown on them and petitions ripped out of their hands, and actually being physically attacked as well. So, yeah, it's been very volatile. They are very protective of their queen bee, and they're retaliating just as you would expect them to. It is interesting because having last night having the police hang outside of my home, you know, to make sure I and my deputy campaign manager are safe.
Right.
So they asked us to take precautions, but not be out on alone, out on the street or anything, because they fear that we're going to be targeted.
Well, you and I talked a few months ago about you being targeted and about rocks being thrown, and they were returning ballots. Weren't they returning envelopes with rocks stuffed in them, so you'd have to pay more in postage? And what, didn't it sink to levels like that too?
Yes, they were actually shipping. They were also sending my deputy. He happened to open one day an envelope filled with feces.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we talked about that.
And white powder and all kinds of stuff, hate mail, racist hate mail, homophobic hate mail, everything. They haven't stopped. We've kept this box we've got a box full of hundreds of all kinds of horrible things they've said and put in the envelopes. Yeah, it's far from being civil.
Well, and what does this tell us about that side of things? Because I believe you've told me you're a pretty liberal guy. You're certainly not a right-of-center guy. You just wanted to get involved because you thought that Sawant, correctly so from my observation, was breaking the law in many different ways. So what does it tell us about where we are as a society, that citizens who want to get involved when they see politicians doing bad things, that there is a concerted effort to try to intimidate you away from what you're doing?
It takes just one person to stand up to a bully. And then once you do that, others will follow. It is not an easy task, especially when you're up against a Marxist organization that prides themselves in violence to get what they want. And someone had to do it. If we didn't, we'd be where we were a year ago. We'd be stuck in the same cycle this last 7 years. And we can't let that happen to our city. Our city, it's a wonderful city. I've lived here my entire life, and we all love our city. And people have moved here because of what we offer here. And we're very progressive. Even those that are Republican are very conservative, they are also very progressive. That's why they live here. It's a very easy city to live in, but in the last 7 to 10 years, we've seen it digress because of these types of activists that want to hold the city and hold the citizens captive and bully them into a corner. And when you do that enough, you kind of cower away. And I think that's what's happened with the district and why she's been voted in so many times, because, oh, it's just a councilwoman. That's just a council position. What harm can they do? Well, they can, and that's why we have to vote. And every vote does count, no matter what.
Sure.
So when you don't vote, it's more than what we get.
It's more than she's just a councilwoman, because you're also up against a tremendous number of people. Like you said, she's their queen bee. And people who don't live in your district, people who don't live in Seattle, are sending money in to support Sawant at unprecedented levels, because she is seen as kind of the bulwark of this national Marxist movement to try to create unrest in cities all around the country. And we're seeing that George Soros is funding that in prosecutors' offices all across the country. Obviously, the Sawant supporters are funding that with money pouring in from outside of the city. I mean, this is very important to them if they want to continue their Marxist agenda.
Exactly. And because I think Marxism to most people is kind of new, when it actually isn't new at all. I've done a lot of homework on this and watched my deputy and I, we've watched many documentaries and lectures on Marxism and how it came to America in the 1700s. And it failed back then, but here it's making a surge nationally and internationally now, and especially when you look at her numbers and the money she's bringing in. Over 80% of it is coming in from out of state and from other socialist alternative and Marxist groups. So that shows that there's a huge movement going on, and we have to fight this one. And it takes everybody. But in order to make changes, which they don't understand, is we all have to sit at the table and get together and work together. They have
the exact opposite view. They think to make change, they have to tear down the city, and then they can rebuild the city in their image. They have no interest in sitting down at the table and compromising on anything, right?
No, not at all. And that's what's frustrating, is that's why we are here. That's why we're doing this recall. Is she broke the law, and she's, as I posted on Facebook today, 7 years, three times she's taken an oath of office to uphold the laws of Seattle and the Constitution of Washington State. But she has ignored those laws and abused them for her own agenda. And we can't have that, because if you were to break a law and I break a law, we get held accountable. Well, a politician is not above that law, of those laws, and they don't get to just willy-nilly use what they want to make their case. Sit at a table. Don't alienate everybody. And,
I agree with you.
And they're upset that we had a Republican sworn win the city attorney. You know what? It doesn't matter if you're a Republican, independent, or whatever. I'm happy that we have a diverse group of people now that are on the city council, because we can actually sit there and get some things accomplished.
Yeah. Well, it's still not that diverse. I mean, everybody on the council is a Democrat to a Marxist, spectrum. But there's not much diversity still.
Well, yes, I agree with you in that respect. But to have things change a little bit so we can all work together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not be divisive, because it's divisive on both ends of the spectrum anyway.
Yeah, so no question.
Our city has always been everyone's been more towards the center and more moderate, even on the Republican side of it. But now here we are, it's so divisive on both sides. How do we all get back to the middle to work together?
Yeah, well, we start by getting rid of people like Sawant. Well, we should know the results by the time I go on the air tomorrow, this time tomorrow. So keep up the good work, Henry, and we'll stay in touch, okay?
Yes, definitely. And I'm more than happy to talk to you anytime.
Okay, I appreciate it. Henry Bridger, suffering lots of threats because he's leading the Recall Sawant campaign. Got to get your ballots in by 5 o'clock this afternoon if you live in that district. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, for all my listeners who are hunters, Tom Nelson from the Outdoor Line, he's going to join me at 1:30 this afternoon. An amazing story of how Seattle liberals are trying to take over fish and wildlife management in our state. You got to hear the story. I'll have some of it. I'll have a preview for you in the Fastest 15 coming up as well. But, you know, Jay Inslee says they're the party of science. And then he appoints people to Fish and Wildlife who say, well, maybe social goals should be more important than biological wildlife science. Where else are we not the party of science, Democrats? Well, how about in the coronavirus, where Bill de Blasio, the outgoing mayor of New York City, he announced yesterday the first ever total private mandate. Every private business in New York City, now this will never get upheld by the courts, but he wants to go out as some kind of lion of the left. And so Bill de Blasio said he is going to mandate that they have masks and vaccine cards for every private business. Not only that, but for every child, 5 and older, in New York City. It's one of the craziest things that you will ever hear. But that's what's happening out of this whole vaccine mandate thing. It is nothing but absolute craziness. And so if you go back to New York City right now, here's de Blasio saying that they're going to encourage the kids to get it by entering them in a lottery. Kids, if you let an adult inject something into your arm, we might give you money.
Good news, kids are eligible for the $100 vaccine incentive. So we really want kids to take advantage, families take advantage of that. Everyone can use a little more money around the holidays.
Yeah, kids, you need a little shopping money? Let an adult inject something in your arm. Now, if there's nobody who appears to be a government official with a vaccine nearby, just go to any adult in a park and see if they have any syringes. And maybe they'll give you $100 if you let them inject something into your arm. What a great message. And Pfizer's behind this too.
This year, thousands of kids like us around the world joined the COVID-19 vaccine trial.
Kid power.
And when they did, they became all superheroes. Ah! To all the kids who volunteered, we'd like to say...
You want to be a superhero, kids? Let the pharmaceutical companies start to get you hooked on their product. And then we'll all say, thank you. Thank you for becoming a customer of Pfizer International. Candace Owens, I'm just starting to read her book, man. She's awesome. Candace Owens, she was talking on Fox a couple nights ago. And she said, so this is where we are now. Where parents are comfortable with government making decisions about what to inject into their children.
There's something about this that feels like a child predator approaching your child, right? This is the stuff that you learn about when you say, take your child, you're going to the playground. If a stranger comes up to you and says, here's some candy, you don't listen to this, right? Because that's not a good incentive. An adult should not be coming to you and trying to bribe you to do anything, especially when we're talking about medical decisions that belong to the parents. There's something else that's going on here, though, because aside from making people uncomfortable, there is something, an undercurrent here that to me appears evil and appears sinister. And I always say, there's nothing new under the sun. That's a biblical proverb. There's nothing new under the sun, and that's always real. We can always look to history to see where these things come from. This is so reminiscent to me of when I studied Stalin youth programs, Hitler youth programs. When you're talking about schools and the government issuing these brainwashing doctrines down to say to children, it's okay, do this or do that. It's because they're trying to raise up children to do whatever the state wants unquestioningly. And that's been alarming. And this is a conversation that goes further than just the vaccines, further than just the vaccine mandates. It's also talking about what we're seeing going around all the country in terms of what the children are learning in the classroom. It is time for parents to take control over their children and to realize the government is trying to step in as the parent, and it's quite frankly inappropriate.
Parents take control of their own children? It's heresy. No, we should turn them over to government as soon as they are birthed. Crying out loud. That's why we've heard about some schools vaccinating children without the parents even being informed of it. And by the way, this $100 lottery for children, this you're a superhero if you let pharmaceutical company inject you, all of this messaging, it ignores the fact that coronavirus does not harm children if they get it.
We know for a fact that this virus, and this is according to the CDC, does not harm children. And yet you have cities like San Francisco, of course, Democrat-run cities, that rushed and instantly said that in a couple of months they're going to issue mandates for five-year-olds. You're going to be a five-year-old in San Francisco. You're not going to be able to walk into a place of business without showing proof of vaccination. I mean, this is unfathomable. This is scary stuff that we're talking about. This is like a dystopian nightmare. And some parents are going along with it, which I really don't understand. I really do hope that this is the firm line in the sand, that parents say, you know what, enough is enough. I was maybe okay with this stuff when you were talking about adults. I was maybe okay with this stuff when you were talking about college students, but I'm finally going to have to draw a line in the sand when we are talking about innocent five-year-olds and making medical decisions that are quite frankly unnecessary when you look at the data and the statistics.
And Cam Soane, so was a couple of days ago. She predicted San Francisco might be the first to mandate for kids. Nope, New York beat them to it. Just yesterday morning, Bill de Blasio announced that all children must be vaccinated. It is a government edict. And parents who allow that have decided, for whatever reason, to give up parenting their kids themselves and turning them over to government and pharmaceutical companies. All right, Fast 15 is coming up next.